Hello, and welcome to our Divine Alchemy gathering for a date stamp. It's December 10th, Wednesday at 7 p.m. And for those of you that are not actively following the solar events, we have been consistent with these flares and geomagnetic storms and the solar eruptions that have been taking place for weeks. We're in solar maximum, yes, but the amount of activity that we're having at the levels that it's happening is really, mind-blowing and life-changing and world-shifting. And so that's what we're seeing right now. We're kind of in this stasis, if you will, because the planet is literally being flooded by these energies right now, that the amount of solar light, which is radiation, right? It's gamma frequency, and gamma works the nervous system and the immune system. So where people need to bring their nervous system into balance, where they haven't done that, it's going to impact them in that level. Sometimes it feels like palpitations, sometimes it feels like anxiety, because what's really happening in the body is that the molecular structure of the body is actually coming to action. And it's the same thing as water boiling on the stove. So, when the water hits that peak point of heat versus water, what ends up happening is it starts to bump into each other, right? It's causing this synergistic kind of very explosive dynamic that's happening. And so the water molecules are pinging off of each other. Well, it's the same thing with this radiation light that we're having with the gamma. And what's happening in the body, in the physical body, is the molecules are and the electrons and the protons and the neutrons and all of these other aspects of it, right? The quarks that are located in the back of the neck in the occipital area are kind of, agitated and bumping into each other. And people feel that energy. And the first thought is, oh, I'm having an anxiety attack. But the reason that we're thinking it's an anxiety attack is because nobody told us that it's also the same energy as excitement. So if we're not shifting our thought and shifting our focus to think, hey, this is potentially excitement that I might be feeling and not, anxiety, we're not going to look at it. We're not going to receive it. We're not going to transact it from the point of excitement. We're going to transact it from the point of anxiety, which is fear. Okay. So it's really important that we start to understand and pay attention to the body and not let the mind be run by the ego, because it will jump to conclusions that are not valid. And now more than ever, because of these heightened energies, we need to really be focused on what it is that is happening within us. Just before we got on the call, there was a notification that came through, and it said that we're in a KP5, which is pretty high. I think it goes all the way up to 9. We're in a KP5 geomagnetic storm right now, right? So on a good day, there's no geomagnetic storm happening. Everything is quiet, the body is quiet. But when there is a KP5 active geomagnetic storm at a G1 level, and it's KP5. It's not even a G3 solar storm at a KP5, right? It's a G1 storm. So you can see the amount of room that we have to go before we hit a maximum threshold is great. But if we're not looking at it from that perspective, we're not realizing like we're really nowhere close to the extremes that we could be having. And yet on the Earth, because the Earth is receiving these frequencies like our bodies are, we're seeing things like, the earthquake that just happened in Japan, which was a 7 point something earthquake in Japan, right? And before that, there were other earthquakes, and right off the coast of Russia, I don't know, they've had like six earthquakes there, right? So we have to understand that these energies are creating this experience, this opportunity for these higher level magnitude storm surges, for these activations. So in the body, of course, because we're having these high gamma influxes of light, which is the solar radiation, which is like the same radiation that you would go for if you went for chemo, if you had cancer, right? You go for chemo and then radiation. It's the same radiation. It's the same dynamic being felt in the body. And so we have to understand that when that happens and the gamma levels are that high, we might find that we're losing a little more hair in the shower. I know yesterday I lost a little more than I was like, oh, look at that. The gamma is definitely doing its thing, right? That's a number one sign when we're high in gamma levels. Now, some have been really tormented by restless leg, really having a lot of pain throughout the body, right? Having intense pressure headaches, and not just in the front lobe, right, but in the back of the skull, the third eye achy, the physical eyes hurt or ache. All of these things are indicative of these high level frequencies that we're operating in. So it's really important to go back to the basics, as we've talked about for years and years and years and years, to understand that one of the most important things that we can do for ourselves is to tune in and see what the body needs. Because one day your body might need salt and you're craving salt. Let's say you're craving salt 4 days in a row, and you're not getting the salt that you need, right? Like you're craving potato chips and you're like, nope, it's not on my eating plan, or it's not on my diet and I'm not eating potato chips, right? But your body is like, I need salt, right? And you're like, nope, not giving you salt because it's not on my food plan. Your body might go into a state of crisis, which is then going to activate heart palpitations, or could be something more physical, restless leg. You might feel your heartbeat beating through your leg, right? Like as things are starting to really ramp up, it's like a volcano wanting to spew, right? The body is like feeling very volatile. So it's very important for us to tune in and be like, okay, I think I'm going to go get those potato chips. And so you don't have to buy a big bag, but just buy yourself a little bag of potato chips just to satisfy what's taking place in the body, and then check in the next day and see how that felt. Did that sit well with us, right? Because one of the biggest lies that's out there, it's all gonna be rectified, but until it does, is that salt is bad for the body and salt creates high blood pressure. That's a load of nonsense, right? That is the furthest thing from the truth. Okay, we need salt. We need a certain amount of salt in the body to help regulate the blood pressure, to help regulate the heart. And when we don't get it, That's what we can create heart anomalies in the body. So we do have to be very, very careful. Okay. And so don't play that game with yourself. Tune in and listen to what your body is asking for. And if it's asking for something, have it. Okay. I was on a rampage probably about 2 months ago. And every time I went to the grocery store, I was buying those small bags of Cape Cod potato chips, right? Because they're more natural and they're not greasy. And I can't stand eating a potato chip that's just total grease. So I was buying those, and like every other day, I was craving this bag of potato chips, and I just let myself eat them until that craving went away and I didn't need it anymore. I was like, oh, and I pass it in the store now and I'm like, hello, Cape Cod potato chips, because I don't really need them anymore. Like I passed that craving point, right? Which means that my body got satisfied for that moment because the energies were so strong. So I was able to satisfy it, right? And give the body the salt, because when we're dealing with these high levels of plasma, we need salt in the body. So when we're craving salt, it is the plasma that you're feeling. And then all of a sudden, what happened was I activated this new level of consciousness. And then I was like, oh, what cake can I bake today? Oh, I know. I already baked a banana bread 3 weeks ago, but I'm going to bake it again. I'll bake a banana bread. I'm going to bake an apple cinnamon loaf. I'm going to bake this. I'm going to bake the next, like then I was cra the crazy baker woman, like just baking and baking and baking and baking. And then one day I walked into the store to get the, to do grocery shopping and get the ingredients that I needed for the cake. And I was walking down just to go out, not to get anything, but I was walking through the freezer section just to get to the front of the store. And as I was walking through, I was like, oh, ice cream. I'll get ice cream and I'll have that with the apple cake. And I did, right? I did. And it's funny because the old me in the back in the old days would have not listened to the craving. I'm talking a long time ago, would not listen to the craving, would have not wanted to eat the ice cream, would have not wanted to eat the cake, right? And I would have gained 10 pounds not doing it because I was in resistance. Okay. Now I'm eating that. I'm probably eating a loaf of sourdough by myself every week because I'm baking it, and I'm actually losing weight. It's not coming off pounds a week, but it's coming off like a quarter of a pound a week because I put my pants on today. It's like, oh, look at that. They're actually a little big, right? But I mean, I'm being honest. This is how it works, right? We're reversing out the mindset that creates the resistance, because we have been brainwashed to think otherwise. And then we think that that's the only way we can operate, or that's the only way we can stay safe, or that's the only way that the body's going to feel good. And so when we start to pay attention to the energies, and we start to pay attention to the body, and we start to pay attention to what the body is asking for, that is a sign that we're evolving out of the container that we have been living in virtually our whole lives. Okay. And it's really important that we do this. What's most important, and whether it's mine or somebody else's, I don't care, magnesium water. Every single person on the planet is magnesium deficient. Okay. That magnesium is so important. You can take it in a supplement, but if you have any kind of compromised digestive system, or you've had any kind of surgery on your intestines, your stomach, or anything else, you're not going to get it through a pill. You're not going to get it through a supplement, because you're probably not even correctly digesting your food. Okay. I had this big conversation with my brother after he had his after he had colon cancer and he had a part of his colon removed. due to the cancer, you know. And I said to him, I'm like, find other ways to get it in, even like herbal teas. It's a great source, right? For tonifying and strengthening the organs of the body. So, you know, this is where we have to start to shift our thoughts because it's going to start to become apparent to those of us that are in the higher levels, work in the higher levels, that the old ways are not working anymore. And how we're going to know that is there's going to be some confusion. We're going to feel confused about what's no longer vibing or what's no longer making sense to us. My notes are all over the place, so I just have to look at my paper and make sure we're in heavy duty heart activations right now. Heart and third eye activations, which when third eye activates, it means not just the third eye, but it's also the physical eyes, right? Because the third eye was always meant to be the seeing eye, the all-seeing eye that would replace the physical eyes. And the only reason we have physical eyes is so that we could play the 3D matrix game. And then we could be fooled by the illusion that we've been living under. So let's talk about that because I want to go over more energies of December, and then we're going to get into the big shift of what we're talking about here. So December is a 3 month. It's a three energy, which is all about creation, creativity, expressing ourselves, right? Self-expression through authenticity. Most of us don't even know what our authentic self is, right? And we get there kind of like haphazardly, like or accidentally, right? We could be baking sourdough bread and then somebody says to us, you should open a micro bakery. And the next thing we know, we become that sourdough mama. So if you're not following Diana, follow her. So it's also a time to say what you mean. Like, right? What is in your heart? What is important for you, not for somebody else, not for what the world thinks should be important for you, but what is authentically important for you? What is going to speak to you on many levels, right? So this month is all about leaning into our truth. And, you know, the timing couldn't be more right for this type of energy to come in and really force us to step up into our more authentic self. Because the role that we've been playing is not who we are, right? It's not really innately who we are. We may have a thousand things that we do well. It's like the dandelion story. I tell people this all the time when they come to me and they ask me, so have you heard that dandelion heals cancer? And what do you think about that? And I'm like, well, I don't think much about that. And the reason I don't think much about that is because every single herb has probably about 10 things that they do pretty good, right? Like they do it good. And there's one thing that they do really, really awesome. And dandelion is not a cancer healer, right? But it supports and complements cancer. So if I was treating somebody for an illness, especially cancer, I would look at what type of cancer it is, what they're needing, right? How they need to nourish themselves or what we need to clear. And then I would say, okay, well, I know I like to work with you know, this particular herb, right? And then I put that herb on my list. And then I go, okay, maybe I'm going to add a little bit of this herb in and use a little bit of that. And then I might use some red clover and add that in, right? Like now I've got like these are all these herbs, you know? And then I might think to myself, what else could support that process to help strengthen up the body, help strengthen the organs, depending on the kind of cancer it is. Definitely giving them red clover, right? Because that's my number one go-to. But as a complement with red clover and some other good cancer fighters as herbs, that might be secondary to that. I'm also thinking maybe I want to clear the congestion in the body too, if there's any congestion. So maybe I need something that's going to clear the lymph, or maybe I need something that's going to help tonify the liver, something that's going to strengthen the liver and maybe detox it at the same time. Because in my world, and I've always been this way, and that's thanks to my father, is, we don't take anything to detox the body. You do it through natural means, right? So I don't want to do a cleanse to cleanse the body and cleanse the organs, because body already knows how to do that. I don't need to do that. But what I need to do is I need to support the body through a cleanse. So I'll definitely add dandelion for that. So it becomes a support to the concoction that I'm making, or the suggestions that I make to the client for cancer. But herbal medicine doesn't require a license. It doesn't even require certification. And you have a lot of people out there that are very excited, very overzealous when it comes to, the work and whatnot. And they hear that that dandelion supports cancer. And then the next thing you know, somebody through the game telephone has now changed the directive of dandelion to be a cancer fighter, which it never was. Okay. And so it could be very scary out there. And in like that likeness, that dandelion example, it's like that with everything in our lives. So it's up to us right now, because the energies are requiring it from us, to find out what is our truth, what is true for us. And while I'm saying that, I could give somebody dandelion to help clarify their liver, right? Because that's what dandelion does, that really, really well. It detoxes the liver really, really well. That's its number one job out of the other 10 that it has. But I could give somebody that while I'm giving them a whole host of other things, because we're working on a specific problem, and they might have a lot of success with the treatment, but because it was literally five or six herbs together, I'm not going to know what one did the trick, right? I'm not going to know. So the best way to take an herb is always to take one at a time and see how it makes you feel, see what it does, right? So it's the same thing here. We have to kind of put aside the things that we thought we always knew and see. What is our truth? Where does our truth lie? And so, one of the things that we need to do is lean into what is true for us. If it doesn't feel good or feels halfway, don't do it. Say no. Use your power of authority to say no. I don't like that. That doesn't feel good. Okay. And do it with confidence. Speak confidently. Express your true nature. Make sure that you are in your authenticity. Okay. Pay attention to new thoughts and ideas. Now, this is going to be the way things are going to go going forward, because we are going to need to be able to bring in new expressions, new ways to express ourselves, and shed out the things that are not really working that well for us, right? I hear this a lot with people who just don't love their job anymore, just don't want to do that job anymore. There's something else that's talking to them, but there's a challenge there, because the fear of letting go of something that they know very intimately, versus the excitement of looking toward a new endeavor, feels overwhelming. And so then it feels impossible to let go of the job, because that feels like comfort. And being human, we're creatures of habit, because we like comfort. We don't like to stray from what we know, because It means something new. And sometimes that can be very scary for us. Okay. So it's very important for us to be able to have an understanding or an idea of what is our truth. What is our truth? What's important to us? All right. So it means that we have to express our true nature. And if part of our true nature is to say no in that moment because it doesn't feel good for us to do it, then we have to be okay with that. And we have to be okay with saying no. We need to pay attention to who we are. And if we're not doing that and we're stuck in like literally people pleasing mode, we're not going to get the flow of new ideas and the new thoughts and the new creation that's wanting to come in because we're too focused on the routine of the old thing that we have to do, right? Which is not supporting us at all. And so, it would be going to, let's say, going to a class, right? Going to an art class, and you're doing the same art the teacher is doing. She's teaching how to do a painting or something like that, and you're afraid to embellish and do it in a style that's more for you. You're not going to grow if you don't do that. If you're doing it just strictly in the way that the teacher is doing it, you're not going to grow, right? I mean, one of the things that we have to start doing is checking in to see what feels right for us. It's very important right now. And that check-in really should be done on a daily basis all day long, thinking about like, what are we speaking into the reality? What are my words creating? Are my words creating something that's high flying? Are my words creating something that's offering me excitement? Or are my words destroying something or someone? So we have to look at that because if our words are creating excitement, experience, joy, right? It's going to keep elevating us and elevating us and elevating us and elevating us until we get to the point where we're like, everything is so in sync. And it's like, the littlest things coming in is, whoo, this is mind-blowing. I can't believe how in sync I am to the universe. And like, everything is just, like just coming. And it just feels easy and natural and supportive. But at the same time, if we're constantly talking the negative, if we're, one of the things I have on here that we'll talk about in a little bit is the gossip and stuff like that. But if we're talking negativity, if we're talking gossip, if we're criticizing, if we're talking judgment, whether it's judgment of ourselves or judgment of somebody else, right? Those words are just tearing a hole in your aura field. Your field is being destroyed by the negativity. And so it's really important for us to pay attention to what is taking place in our reality. Now, what's funny for me right now is as I'm talking here, I'm remembering or recalling something that I read yesterday. And the guy was literally talking about an instrument called a zither, right? Which is not a common known instrument. And I remembered my mom telling me about the zither when she was younger. It's like a harp almost, except not. And, she's German, very German, traditional type family and whatnot. And so as I'm talking to you, all of a sudden, I see the word zither in my head, right? Third eye. And something says to me, look at the time. And at the time that I looked at the time just a few minutes ago, it was 7:29. That's my mother's birthday, right? So these synchronicities, these little moments, and this happens all day long, all day, every day, just these little synchronistic moments that happen. And it just starts to align us with the higher frequencies in our life, right? It starts to pull us into these magnetic fields that have infinite possibility and infinite potential because now we're literally radiating, resonating, vibrating, oscillating, whatever you want to call it, to that frequency. And it can't not be met by us because we're holding that same vibrational state. Okay. That's for every single one of us has the ability to do that. But when we forget ourselves and we let frustration or anger or resentment or anything else fuel the reality, we're just lowering the vibration and creating opportunities for us to have these tears in our field that then need a lot of healing and require a lot of downtime in order for us to be able to repair it, right? We're also going to be experiencing old wounds resurfacing, especially if they have not been healed. Okay. If something pops up for you or somebody comes back into your world that you thought was done, or let's say a situation or circumstance pops up or whatever, instead of shutting it down, instead of getting angry to it, instead of feeling the frustration of it, take a time out, go get yourself something good to drink, not alcohol, because it lowers your vibration. So we don't want to go there. So go get yourself a cup of tea, a cup of water, a cup of juice, whatever you want to have. Sit down, get yourself settled, get centered, close your eyes, do some breathing, and then ask yourself, what is not finished with this story? What has not completed for me with this story? What am I holding on to? What am I still feeling? And that I have not been willing to let go, that I have not been willing to move on from. And really look at it, because now is the time to do that. You want to do that before next year. You want to do that before March, because March is another completion month. Like we have a big eclipse happening in March that's like, literally, when I think about that eclipse, it feels like, when a boat drops its anchor and that anchor goes really, really fast into the water and it goes, T-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t-t, and then it hits that anchoring point and it like, dum, right? It's, psh, I'm done, right? That's what it reminds me of, like that unraveling that quickly. So it's important to look at that because we want to be done with the old and move on from that, wherever we've been holding ourselves back, and stand in the light of the truth that we hold, right? Release the need for perfectionism. I've worked on that my whole life, right? Working to release the idea of perfectionism. I am finally able to paint without the need for it to be perfect. I'm finally able to do some art without the need for it to look a certain way. And I can just let it be what it is without making myself crazy over it. Okay. And the other thing, stop over-explaining yourself, right? That's a judgment. That's a lack program running. And that's fear. Fear that people won't like me as I am. Okay? Fear that people will misunderstand me and not find value in me. So I'm going to overexplain myself until they fully understand what the heck I'm talking about because I don't want to be misunderstood. And that's judgment. It's a lot of judgment. Okay. So Let me just make sure I didn't miss anything here because okay, so yeah. So the reason we're talking about this is because this is the stuff that makes these energies really impact the body at a greater degree, right? When we're carrying this kind of negativity, it literally puts us right into the karmic cycle of abuse of the 3D matrix program, because that program was built with pain and suffering incorporated in it, which is why we've always struggled to get out of that realm, right, of pain and suffering, where we feel like if I do something good, I might have to suffer the consequences. Because, if you laugh too much, right, I heard this from my mom, if I laugh too much, I might end up crying. Be careful. Don't laugh too much because you might end up crying. Oh, you think that's really funny? Don't laugh too much because you might end up crying, right? I heard that as a child growing up. And so we have to exit that program. We have to let that go because there is no truth to that at all. Took a long time, right? But the pain and suffering cycle is real because that's the ego mind and that's what we incarnated under. And so when we're in these heightened energies, especially when the index is like, at a KP5 and it's all your nerves are standing on end, right? It's like the electricity got you and your hair is standing straight up in the air. Your nerve endings are exposed, they're straight up in the air, right? Well, it's pushing us to tune in and tune up. So if we're feeling excessive pain in the body because of these energies, because of the light frequencies, we have a lot of work to do. Because the pain in the body is equal to the pain that we're carrying, or the belief system that we're carrying, or the habits or the patterns that we haven't let go of that we're still carrying. Okay. And that's why I said earlier, complaining about something. Oh, this idiot cut me off and they was such a jerk. And then I followed him and I tailed them and then they got in front of me and tried to cut me off. And all of that type of stuff, or then the gossiping, right? Like talking about somebody or something. Did you hear? Yada, 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 right? It serves no purpose. It just lowers our frequency, drops us right into the bottom of the barrel of the light frequency, right? Plummets the life force energy right out of you, makes you more susceptible to flu upgrades, those frequency light upgrades, okay? And then what happens is because we've dropped our frequency and our vibration, we're not in harmonic resonance anymore with destiny. And we're ending all South Node stuff because South Node is tied to the moon. South Node is all karma. It's the karma that we came in, that we chose to experience in this life. And North Node is the destiny. We're on that northern trajectory right now, but we're not going to get there to the point that we're meant to be at because we're too busy, distracted somewhere else we shouldn't be, thinking about something else we don't need to be thinking about, or somebody else that we want to have a conversation about because we can't find something else to talk about. Right? And there was a time in my life when I didn't have anything else. I distracted myself by thinking about what other people were doing, or what other people were saying, or how other people were behaving, or whatever, but over the years, I've moved away from that. Now, I make sourdough, and sourdough is like a meditation, right, Diana? It's like a meditation. And even when I'm setting my jars up, right, my starter up at night, every night I do it, I set the starter up. depending on whether or not I'm baking the next day. And even that is like a meditation, and I'm talking to the starters, and I'm, they're like your children. They become like your children because it's living organisms in the jar, right? So you have to make sure you're feeding your starters. You wouldn't let your kids starve, So it's like a meditation, and then the kneading and the folding and all of that sort of stuff. It's like a meditation. And it just, it really derails the outer reality from the experience. Like you forget there's something outside the walls of the domain that you're living in. I know that sounds crazy, but there's like no care or concern for what's out there anymore. And then I forget that I live in, the United States and Florida and have a president and all of that stuff because I'm not thinking about it. And I'm not, even when I'm talking to other people, we're not talking about that stuff, right? And there's no gossip and there's no hatred and there's no, oh, I hate this person. I hate this group. I hate that. I have, but did you see this? Da, da, da. There's none of that. So life becomes harmonized. It becomes easier. But I've chosen that. I've chosen to take myself out of that, right? Because I realized that for me, and I'm not, this is not right for everybody, but I realized for me, it wasn't where my happy was, it wasn't where my happy was. And whereas years back, if I was home alone by myself, I would not know what to do with myself at all, right? But now I have 50 things I can do, and that's the new problem because I can't decide which one of those 50 things I want to do, right? And I have so many art projects that I want to do that, I mean, Loretta and I were discussing this the other day. I can't freaking decide what I want to do, So Loretta said to me today, why don't you do what you do best? You do the line and ink, the line and wash stuff is your like your strength, your best stuff. Why don't you do that? And I thought, oh, that's a really good idea. And I could play with the rest of the stuff on, on the side. And but because there's so many things to do, now it's like the confusion is really about where do I want to play, right? Because there's nothing outside of me that I need to bring that back into focus. It's just all me. And so it changes, but we have to change first. We have to be the one to let go of what is not in vibrational alignment. If you get in bed at night and you are laying down in bed and you're thinking to yourself, oh my goodness, thank God this day is over, you got a lot of work to do. You got work to do. But if you lay down in bed and then you think to yourself, I love my bed, I love my bedroom. And then you say, wait, I'm not ready to go to bed. I'm going to do a Sudoku puzzle, or I'm going to read, or I'm going to whatever, right? And then you're just happy sitting in your bed, happy being in your room, right? It's a different vibe. You want to get to that place, not the other place. I've been the other place, right? We're not going up from that place. We have to create the up. We have to do that for ourselves. We need to make the changes. Okay. Very, very important. And the reason we're talking about this is coming up soon. I will be talking about why we're talking about all of this because there is a method to my madness, as you have learned over the years, right? So, needing something other than what is. I have this conversation with clients every day, at least one session every day, right? When you need something to be different, when you need it to be different than how it is right now in your life, you've missed the mark. Because you're not getting that next level anything until you could be happy with where you are right now. Because there's something very, very important that needs to be received, that needs to be acknowledged, that needs to be understood, right? Felt, learned, experienced. Even if it's not good, there's great purpose to having that experience. So it's very important to let go of, oh, I wish I was in a different house, or I wish I had a different car, or I wish blah, 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 right? Monday, I was coming home from the grocery store. It was raining here like crazy. It's raining. It was cold, 50 degrees. It was very, very damp out, everything. So I get home with the groceries, bring everything into the house, and then I take the grocery bags back out. My car is off, but I can open the trunk and do what I need to do, and I go back out to the car, and I hit the button, open the trunk. I don't know why I did that. It would have been so much easier to just open the back door and then flip the two bags over the seat or three bags. But I didn't. I opened the trunk and I threw my bags into the back. I have a Jeep Cherokee, threw them into the back of the Cherokee, pushed the button, and the door started to come down. And then I think my hand, my arm was still in the way for some reason. I don't know why, but my arm was still in the way. And it thought that there was something in the way. So the hatch went back up, the door went back up. So I was like, oh, it's never done that before. Like I could pull my hand out of there slowly and it would still be coming down. However, if it gets like this far from it, it will go back up, but it wasn't anywhere near my arm. And so I hit the button again, nothing. So now I'm like, oh, what's going on here? So I hit the button again, it's not closing. So right away, the first thing is like, the warranty expired. It's 5 years old already. The car's falling apart. I can't believe this. I was like, somebody at the factory pushed a button because they know I didn't extend the warranty, right? And I heard this stuff in my head. I heard it in my head and I stopped at the door and I was like, really? Like, really? Ego, is that the best you've got right now? Like, are you kidding me? And I let that go as fast as it came in. I let it go, went, got my key, went back out to my car, got in my car, hit the start button for the car to start, started my car, hit the trunk close button, the trunk closed, turned the car off, came back in the house, and I stood there and I was like, you see, it was a nothing. It was a nothing, right? It was a nothing. But I could have, if I wasn't paying attention to my words, I could have turned that situation into the negative situation that my ego was planning for, right? It's like a couple classes back when I said, you know, I had a hard time letting Bella out because of all the stories I've heard about this and that and everything in the neighborhood, the coyotes and all this other stuff, you know, thinking like she's gonna be flung by her tail against the bay window here and she's gonna like literally slide down it all bloodied or something. I'm like, okay. That's a horror movie. Like, I don't want to see. I don't even watch horror movies. Like, I don't even watch TV, right? I have this big 80-inch screen TV or whatever it is sitting here. I never even turned it on, right? And so I was like, why does the mind want to do these things? Why does the mind want to take us into the negative? Well, because it's been trained like that. It's been trained like that throughout the history of us being us, right? So we have to come back to it, and we have to stay vigilant to see what is the mind conjuring up, because every word we're uttering is casting a spell, and it's either casting a negative spell that's taking us further into the cauldron, right? Eventually that gets so fiery it bubbles over and we'll be in the fire, or it's good words and it's taking us to higher levels of elevation, right? It's always up to us to choose which way we're going. So, you know, it's really important for us to be paying attention. The other day, no, it was this morning, I was answering somebody that sent a message in Instagram her mom passed away unexpectedly a couple of days ago, and a healer that I know pops up on Instagram, and this negative message, very negative message about what somebody said that was very negative, saying it to them. And I thought to myself, why do we have to have negative talk? Like, why do we need to put that on Instagram to guess what? You're recording that on Instagram. Instagram is playing you over and over and over again, speaking that negativity over and over and over again, every day, all day, 24/7. Do you know what that does to the vibration? And I'm just going to say this, it's not a judgment. It's just an observation, right? Because it's like, oh my God, I'm teaching this and here I am seeing this hurt firsthand. I would love to be able to say, hey, my lovey, I love you so much, but what you're doing, no, don't do that, because that is going out to the universe from your mouth on a video. And it's just on repeat over and over and 100 bazillion times. Why do you think you can't climb out of that bucket that you're in? This is why you're experiencing these negative aspects with people you're encountering. Like, then I look at that and I'm like, you know, there's another level to this too, since we're talking truth. Does this person even believe that they are a healer? If there's a little bit of a conundrum there, there's a little bit of a discrepancy there. Can you see what I'm saying? Like, why are you putting that judgment out there and literally shutting down your field? You're literally creating a deficit for yourself in your field. And that's going to stay with you as long as that video is out there. I could talk about stuff like this all day long, all day. It's why I don't go on Instagram. It's why I'm on there very rarely. And thank God, thank creator, that when I do go on, 99% of the time, I'm either seeing Loretta's artwork or I'm seeing Diana's sourdough. I've kind of filled my field with lots of that type of stuff, so that's if I do have to go on there to say something, because I don't feel called to post on there anymore. I just don't. The energy is so distorted. I hate to say that, but very, very distorted. And people don't realize, they don't realize what they are unintentionally creating for themselves through this negativity that they don't even realize is negative. They don't even realize it's judgment. And it's not just judging the person who said the mean thing, it's judging themselves. It's like baffling that they don't see this. So please, the one thing, if I was going to give you a list of 1 to 10, the number one being the most important thing that you could do, the very, very, very most important thing that you could do, watch the words that are coming out of your mouth. Watch the talk that you are doing. And if you are hearing and it could be stupid talk, like my ego talking about the trunk of my car, you better correct that shit right away. Redirect that right away. Because otherwise, you're creating deficit. And your energetic field, you might have woke up this morning with only 80% of your energetic gold, right? Your fullness is only at 80% because you left 20% of it somewhere else. Thinking about something you shouldn't be thinking about, carrying something you shouldn't be carrying, something the weight of the world, and it might not even be from your world. Okay. So you're only waking up with 80%. If you're lucky, you're waking up with 80%. You might only be waking up with 50%, right? Like you ever wake up and go, oh man, I wish I didn't have to get up today. I'm going to tell you, since I do this at such a deep level, I have never said that. I haven't said that. It's been years since I've said that. Okay. Every day is a good day because I opened my freaking eyes and I got out of bed, but I watch every word that's coming out of my mouth. Right. We have to be so present and so clear. And if you've given up your energy to thoughts that you should not be thinking, or thoughts that are going to take away from somebody else's experience, even if it's somebody that passed away and you didn't want that to happen. I was very careful when my mom left because even though it wasn't what I would have preferred, it was her soul's choice to go the way she did when she did. And I let her have that experience. I was never mad at her, not one day. I was never frustrated over that, whatever. But this client of mine who reached out to me the other day is in a tremendous amount of turmoil and pain because she can't reconcile her mom's passing. And I get it. But at a soul level, we have to stop playing the human game and really pay attention to what it is that we're, creating in our reality. And become more like our soul self, and understand that was their rite of passage to leave when they did how they did, right? So every little nuance in our life is affecting us. And when it's a situation like that, where it's someone who's departed and is now, on the other side, it's affecting them because our anger, frustration, confusion, resentment, extreme grief, all of that stops them from actually making their transition because the soul is at a state of unrest and can't move over. They can't get over, right? So, and it's every facet of our life. I have somebody else who had two miscarriages. And there's a lot of crazy dynamic in the relationship between that couple. And this person's had two miscarriages and is using the idea of the miscarriages to distance herself from her husband because there's some really strong unresolved emotions within herself. They can't be acknowledged because that would mean that she was wrong in some way, shape, or form, right? Which, I so eloquently pointed out to her that she doesn't want to hear. So she uses the two miscarriages to go into an avoidance. And the reason I'm explaining this to you is because this is in every facet of life. And so, if we don't take responsibility, those two souls of those two babies, guess what? They're stuck in limbo. They couldn't come back around again for another birthing opportunity if they wanted to, because this person is in such resistance to doing the healing work and really rooted in the victim mentality, the shame, the blame, the anger, and all of that. That those two souls are kind of like, all right, well, we're going to wait until you resolve this, and then maybe we're never going to come back around again. Why? We had the experience we were meant to have. We were meant to be miscarried, right? Sometimes that's the soul's journey to experience what it would be like to be A miscarriage. We look at that, we're like, what the? Are you kidding me? Why would the soul choose that? Well, because they wanted to know. Maybe it was an angelic presence that is now going to be working with children who were miscarried, right? Or had to be aborted in some way, shape, or form. And that angelic is going to be working with those children and needs to know what that feels like to be aborted. Right? But on a human level, we're not thinking this because we're so fucking selfish. Excuse my language, but we're so selfish. We're so self-absorbed, right? That we're not thinking this. And it's making our life that much more difficult because we just don't want to come to terms with what it is because it's too easy to stay where we are. Right? That's the way it is. So when we start to get real about this stuff and we take the rose-colored glasses off and we stop doing all that we've been doing, we're going to be on a rocket heading to the moon. And we're going to be in time for this shift that is taking place because we are clearing 165 years of the first Neptune journey. So, Neptune, the planet of illusion. Rose-colored glasses. What it loves to do is it loves to be peace and love, peace and love, peace and harmony. Just you do whatever you need to do is fine. You know, we think you should do inner child work. You should do shadow work. Go to a therapist. Let's stay stuck for the next 50 years, and that's okay. And everybody's like, oh, that sounds good. I'm gonna do that, right? That's Neptune in Pisces. It wants love. It wants harmony. So it's going to push everything out of the way that's not love and harmony, that might cause some discomfort as we're going through our healing process. And then we don't do that. So we've been under the guise of illusion because Pisces is water, Neptune is water. Okay. And so we're in this place where we are in all of this emotional energy right now. And you could see it. I see it every day. And I see it going into the grocery store. I see it coming out of the grocery store. I see it driving down the street. I'm sure you guys have seen it too. But these are the final stages of Neptune completing its 165-year journey in the sign of Pisces. And you know, Pisces is the two fish. It's a bit of confusion. It doesn't know which way it's going, right? That's Pisces. I was married to a Pisces. And Pisces usually has addiction issues. So if there's a sun, a moon, or a rising in Pisces, it's going to be addiction. My friend that I lived with had a Pisces moon and also had a very serious addiction to coke at one point in their life. Okay. I have never not seen something with a Pisces with a sun, a moon, or a rising that did not have some kind of an association with addiction. It's very emotional. Pisces is a very emotional sign. It feels things. It does not think things. Pisces is a sign. If you know a Pisces, you'll know they're very feeling people. They're, you know, it's like when I think of Pisces, I think of the hippies back in the 60s with the love, the flower, you know, peace, the love, the flowers, all of that. They're very, very loving people, but very emotional people, extremely emotional. Okay. And Neptune in the sign of Pisces has made a lot of illusion, has given us the fog that we've been living under, has allowed us to not ask questions of, you know, what the medical system is doing with people, right? Not to ask questions about what the government has been doing to us, for us, against us. Not to ask any questions at all. I mean, look at the school system. It's a freaking mess. Okay. So it's made it so that we didn't ask those questions. And it was on purpose. It was on by the game was so perfect. Fit right into the guise of 3D, right? The Matrix. So freaking perfect. But now it's time to get out of there. So Neptune is all about. You know, it's all about the mood. It's about intuition. It's about sensitivity. It's about empathy. God, that's a lot, right? I picture somebody that can't get out of their way that's just crying all day long because it's so heavy. The energy has been so heavy. I have Pisces clients so heavy, have had nothing but pain in relationships, like deep, deep emotional suffering. Okay. And now that's coming to an end. And so what do we do? Where do we go from here? So if we're rooted in the pain and suffering, even if we're not a Pisces, where do we go from here? We have to shift to something new. And when Neptune is finally done with Pisces in the beginning, I think in January of 2026, it's going into Aries. Aries is not water, Aries is fire. It's going to be very fiery, right? Because Aries can light the flame under the Neptune water. But if Aries is too fast and too fiery, it might put the fire out, right? So, like, it's going to be hot and heavy, but we have to make the shift to our reality to understand this, okay? So, Neptune doesn't think deeply at all, right? It feels into the intuitive, which is why we have been fooled our whole lives with thinking everything is perfect in the outer reality when it's really not. But it is once you bypass it and let it go and it doesn't exist for you anymore, it's perfect because you don't need it. You don't need it. You don't need to go to doctors. You don't need to. That is the illusion, but what you have to get to that place where you see beyond the illusion. Okay. So Neptune doesn't think, it feels and it intuits. So it means that we're going to have to surrender to go within, and be in divine flow, be in our natural state of flow. Because we're really at a point of no return. I mean, this is a place none of us has ever been before. 165 years old, not me. I know none of you are either, so none of us has ever experienced this before, right? So in Pisces, we had rules, but no borders. Think about that. We had rules with no borders, meaning that there were no boundaries, right? It left everything loosey-goosey. So when it goes into Aries in January, it's going to start to change. Now, it's not going to go into Aries in January and then boom, it's going to be different. It's going to change. It's going to take a while to ramp up. But we're in a very, very strong wrap up of these energies right now. We're in a very strong pulling apart, dissolving of the containers that held everything in place. And the wounds. That might be felt a little bit more deeply because this is a wrapping up. We're at the last degree of these signs and these planets. It's time. It has to be time. We can't wait anymore. Okay? Because it's coming to an end, whether we like it or not, it's going to change. So this means no more going with the flow. We can't use things to escape, right? So there's no, you know, there's not going to be, you can't use food as an escape. You can't use shopping as an escape. You can't use alcohol as an escape. You can't use pot as an escape. It's not going to work anymore. And it's going to feel 1,000 times worse because the energies are going to be so different. So it's really time to show up for ourselves, right? It's really time to look at what we have not been wanting to see. So if we're chasing a goal for the sake of an identity, right, of who we think we want to appear to the world as, or who we want to be, and we need to play that identity, and it's not our authentic self, we'll play that out. But there's going to be a repercussion. There's going to be a boomerang for that. Okay? Because we're not authentically in our heart. We're playing a role. And so, whatever it is that you're doing that does not feel good anymore, that does not feel aligned, that feels like it needs to go. I'm so done with this right now. Could be a person, could be a place, could be a thing, could be your job, could be, siblings, could be friends, could be whatever. You got to let it go. You got to move on from it. You got to find your strength and just exit that matrix, right? Exit that paradigm. Exit that reality. That's just not working anymore. So here's a question to ponder for this. And you could do this right now, okay, as you're listening to me talk. And there's no thinking involved. So the minute you are listening to hear what I am saying, I want you to be so present that you're aware of what your body is responding to. Is it a yes or is it a no? Like, what are you feeling immediately? That's going to tell you where you are standing with this. So, the creator, God, source, whatever you want to call it, is within you. It's within all of us, right? We don't have to go anywhere for it. We don't have to go to a church. We don't have to go anywhere for it. God is within us. Creator, source, consciousness, whatever, the divine, whatever you want to call it, is within us already. And I would say that you're probably all feeling, yes, that is true, unless you're not doing the work. But yes, that is true. And you are creating on behalf of the creator, because the creator's idea was to create many fractals of itself so that it could experience itself from so many bazillions of perspectives. We're each a fractal of the divine, allowing it to experience itself through us and our experience. Here's the question. If the divine, the creator, source, God, were to come into being with you, commune with you in your body, suddenly to be of consciousness within the you that is you, would the creator, the divine source, God, be pleased with what it feels and finds settling into you within your home, both your home and your body, with its observation? Would it be pleased? Think about that. So, if for any moment you were like, oh God, I'm not sure I'd really like that, right? Then we got a lot of work to do. Lots and lots of work to do. But if you're like, yeah, sure, come along with me. Come on, let's go, let's do it. I'm good. We'll do our sourdough at night and get up in the morning and go out and feed the chickens and do all this good stuff. And yeah, see, my phone is lighting up, calling to attention, right? Source is like, I'm on it. I'm coming. We're doing chickens. Yeah. Okay. This is real, right? This is the time we're in. It's time to do that self-check. So, we are here to explore our desires and the passion that we have for an extraordinary life. And if you're like me, I had responsibility put on me at a very young age. I was cooking for my father and my brother at a very, very young age. I'm probably 12. And I knew responsibility. I was responsible for cleaning the house, doing the cooking. I didn't have a lot of playtime because I didn't have a lot of friends. I wasn't really allowed to have a lot of friends over. And so when the vacuum cleaner broke, I would go down to my father's, the basement to where my father's, work stuff was and his big drawers with all his tools and stuff. And I'd go grab the Phillips screwdriver and go take apart the vacuum cleaner and fix the belt, put the belt back on, and get back to vacuuming again. That's just what I did. I didn't think it was weird until I mentioned it to friends one time. And I never thought anything of it. I thought, doesn't everybody do this? Because I didn't think that there was anything to it, right? But I had a lot of responsibility on me. And over the years, I've done a lot of work looking at that, thinking like, I really need to shed out the idea of this responsibility that I hold so closely because it stops me from having fun. It stops me from finding joy. It stops me from knowing what my true desire is, what my true excitement is. And then in relationships, I become a chameleon and take on the emotions and everything else of the other person so that it could be an easier time for me. And then there's always harmony because I'm in flow with what they want or what they want to do. Right? So would be really funny, the me that is me now. The universe brings me somebody to do this work with because they're like, come on, let's see you. Let's see you do this. Right? We're bringing, oh, we brought somebody in just so that you could practice this. That's just so you could work through this, right? And don't think that they wouldn't do that, right? Like the universe wouldn't have that set up because that might be an experience that has to happen just so that I could really make sure I'm never going to do that, right? No matter where that is, whether or not that actually happens. But that's how the universe works because we're never done with the work. There's always going to be work to do. We can get mad at it. We can get triggered. We could get mad at it. We could run away from it, but we've got to come back to it. There's no other way. We have to come back to it. And we have to do it. And when we do it, we're going to be like, I don't know what I was so mad about. I don't know what I was so scared over, right? I don't know what, because it's nothing like we think it is. We're thinking because we're holding on to that anger and we're holding on to the frustration. We're holding on to all that other stuff. That's not even ours, believe it or not. It's not even ours. When we really come into the soul self, and then we start to realize that we've been holding on to emotions, probably from the collective, because like I lay down, I hear it at night. I hear what's being fed into the collective through the frequencies, because frequencies are coming through everything. They're coming through the television, even if the television is off. They're coming through the dehumidifier, the hum of the dehumidifier. They're coming through the hum of the refrigerator, the electricity, and microwave. If it was up to me, I'd be unplugging everything because I don't need anything, right? Like, I love it when it's perfectly quiet and I can hear my thoughts. I don't want to hear what's going on there. Then I got to raise myself up out of that, be elevated so that I'm not hearing it, right? We need to end the is what it is mentality. Well, it is what it is. I can't change it. I can't make it any different. I can't make it any better, right? I can't do it any differently, or it's never going to work any other way. It's just going to be this way always, and I guess that's just how it's going to be. We have to stop that because that's not true at all. But guess what? We probably see that on TV at least once a day, if not more, right? At least once a day. We don't, most of us don't even realize the what the commercials are doing. Most people don't even pay attention to the death notice that's attached to those commercials for any kind of medications and stuff. When it says may death may occur, I'm like, I'm sorry, who are you talking to? Right? Because most people not even paying attention to that. And now to really trick humanity, because Joe was watching something and I heard the commercial and I'm like, is that person talking in a German accent? Talking about a medication in a German accent? I thought to myself, that's a distraction because they don't want you thinking about the death sentence that's in that disclaimer that they're giving you at the end, right? Like how many people just like gloss over that, not even paying attention, right? Because they're like, oh, it's not different. Or maybe they don't even notice. I don't know. But we have to start letting go of this warped way that we think, right? Because these old containers that we've lived in, these old containers for thoughts, for ideas, they're going away. And you know what it feels like when they start to go away? It feels like confusion, right? I've been under the delusion of confusion for months now, as some new venture, something new and exciting is wanting to present in my reality, and it's not here yet. It still requires the breaking down of the old. It requires the breaking down of the nervous system that operates under the old, right? It's not coming in until I can be fully out of the way of what it is. And then what I've noticed about it is the more I tune to the feeling of excitement or love or joy when I feel it, right? I was doing something today and I was so lit up. I was like, oh my goodness, I feel so excited. I feel so elated, right? I said, what is this? This is new feelings. And then I realized, oh my gosh, it's associated to the thing that I was just doing, right? And I said, oh, I'll take more of that. That feels really good. That feels very high flying. And I thought to myself, oh, something new is getting ready to be born. Something new is going to birth right through me, right? But do I know what it is? No. I have to go through the discomfort of the confusion first. I have to go through the discomfort of letting all of that shed out so that I could feel into what the new is. What does it feel like? Where's it coming from? So if you're feeling the confusion, or if you're feeling off, or it's like not confusion, but you're just feeling disoriented, there's something wanting to be birthed, right? And the best thing that we can do is find something. I don't care what it is. You could take colored pencils and go color in a coloring book if that brings you great joy, and go color and lift your vibration, lift your frequency, right? And then when you feel it, go, I'm on it. I'm feeling it. What am I doing right now that's giving me more of that? That's gonna make more of that. That's gonna feel as good as this feels right now in this moment, right? And just feel more of that until it comes in fully, and then you'll know more fully what it is. Okay. So the container that held our beliefs, our name tag, our name badge, whatever you want to call it, that held the occupation that we played through, that we operated through, that we were. That made us who we are. That was the marker, the moniker for who we became, right? When we let go and we exchange all of that out for something new, for something else, we must move towards the call, and we will move towards the call unless we are distracted and cannot hear it. And so, if Ego has most of your attention and it is keeping you stuck in the trifling of the sorrows and the gossiping and the judgment and whatever else you got going on. You're not going to get it. You're not going to hear it. And going into next year, it's going to be a little more challenging because now we're talking about Neptune energy in Aries. And Aries is fire. It's clear. It wants to, it's the first sign of the zodiac and it's off and running. It's like, follow me, right? Aries likes to be number one. If you know an Aries, Aries is like, follow me. I'll take you. I'll show you the way, right? Come with me. So we have to make sure that we're not distracted, that we're seeing it, that we're healing it, that we're hearing it. Okay. So knowing that things won't feel clear is going to be helpful because it's going to force us to look for those little moments where we get the flutters or we get excitement, right? Or we feel love. All of a sudden it's radiating. And I'm like, oh my God. I'm so happy. I feel so happy right now. What's making me happy? I don't care. Right. But we're in that level of excitement. And because of the nature of Aries energy, it could bring it very quickly. Like it just bring it to you and drop it on your doorstep. And you're like, oh my God, a new career, Diana. I point to her because that was a conversation we had. And in one fell swoop, she allowed herself to be present to receive the message. And then the next thing I knew, I was witnessing the change within her because the minute I said it, she got this glow, right? She got all bubbly, the happiness, the joy. It's like the light was radiating from her. And then what happened next? Somebody reached out to her via her son and said, hey, I heard you making sourdough. We need you to make some for our restaurant. And now she's doing that, right? So you don't know where the nod is going to come from. You don't know where the tap on the shoulder is coming from. But we need to listen. We need to pay attention, right? We need to pay attention. So important. And it's got to be through surrender and letting go. And it can only be done through deepening the work that we're doing. And I'm just going to say this to you guys because I know this to be my truth. I'm not going to be here forever. No, not that I'm not going to be on the planet forever. Okay. I plan on being on the planet for a long time. I mean, I keep saying 144 years and I'd be good with that. But probably if I got to like 125 or something, I'd be like, yo, how about 188 for now? Like, and we'll work on that as we go. Right. But, you know, other pathways, I could feel them coming. I don't know what that means. I don't know when that means. In my astrological chart, it looks like a shift happens in 2027 for me. And it looks like I don't know that I'll be doing this anymore in 2027. So what I'm saying to you is while I am still clear on the work that is coming through, own it, take it, use it to your advantage while we're still here connecting and doing the work. Okay. Because I don't know what that means or where that's going. I'm feeling different. I could tell you that. The work is shifting. I'm shifting. Every day is different. And we have to surrender and let go, even when we don't know, right? Last month, I had my worst month I've ever had financially, worst month I've ever had. But did I get all down and depressed and sad and everything else? No, no. I was still very joyful. Joyful because it was an experience that made me uncomfortable. And at the same time that it made me uncomfortable, it allowed me to feel the discomfort. And at the same time, it also allowed me to anchor more deeply in my faith that I know something is coming. And
I have to tell you, this is funny because I forgot, but I want to share this with you. So, I was ruminating on it and I'm like, this is such a precarious position to be in. Like, so odd, right? So odd because now I'm paying Joe rent and everything is good here and everything is on point, whatnot. And, but I mean, I need to pay. My bills, my website, my car, my everything, right? I need to pay. And now I need to change health insurance, which is going to be different because I don't know what I'm going to have to pay through Florida Blue down here, but I know what I was paying in New York. So it's about to get interesting. But I'm in the laundry. I'm in the garage doing laundry the last couple of days, and self-talk is running. And I'm like, yeah, I'm high flying, high vibing. I'm loving every minute. I was like, work was slow, but I probably needed it for other things. And so grateful to have the opportunity to have that time that I was able to really just sit. And I did so much journaling and I got to do some adventuring. And then Loretta came down here. And so we spent a week together. And so, I was really in a place of gratitude, like such deep gratitude. I got to see Debbie. We had a little meetup too. And I had so much gratitude, right? And I thought to myself, money's just the energy, right? It's the energy of the everything. And at the same time, it's nothing. And when you place too much importance on its importance, it can shut down the flow and it can shut down the stream. And I was like, there's such a great lesson here, and this has such great purpose. I don't really know what it is, but I know it's coming. Like that knowledge, that awareness is coming. So this is kind of funny. So I bought Joe new sheets for his bed as a gift for him for his graduation. I bought him two sheets sets and a nice new comforter for him. I'm like, out with the old, in with the new. We're exchanging the energy here. It's your bedroom, it's where you sleep. I pretty much anchor my energy in the rest of the house, but I wanted him to have like higher elevated energy because he's really struggling with the upgrades lately. And so I'm in the garage and I put the sheets in the dryer and come back later to take the sheets out. And I'm pulling the second sheet out and I hear something jingling in the dryer. And I'm thinking to myself, that's what the heck could be in the dryer. So I pull the next thing out. I don't know if it was a pillowcase or whatever, and a penny comes flying out and it lands at my feet. And I was like, oh, well, would you look at this? The universe is throwing money at me, right? And I started laughing because I thought it was funny because that's always my sign. Like, money is coming, don't worry, or like, don't worry, you're good. Because the universe always throws like pennies and change and all kinds of stuff like that, And so I didn't think anything of it. I was like, oh, I wonder if he left money in his pocket last time he was here, did the laundry, whatever, but hasn't done laundry here in like weeks and weeks and weeks. And Loretta and I did laundry, and there was no money flying out at us when we were doing the laundry when she was here. So I thought it was funny. So I exchanged that, take what's in the washing machine, which now it's my clothes, put them in the dryer, drying them, and I go back in there, start up unloading my stuff and pull one thing out. And it was like three pennies flew out at me on the floor, landed at my feet. And I was like, where the hell is this money coming from? Like, I checked my pockets. There was nothing in there. There was nothing in the dryer, And that, so I was laughing. Well, it's been consistent now. The last couple of times that I've done laundry and used the dryer, money is just coming out of the dryer, right? Like, I'm like, could you make it like $1 million? Could you make it $1 million? I'd fly everybody here and we'd have a really good weekend, right? I just thought that was funny. So, it just shows me though, like the universe has a plan. And that's a sign for me not to worry because the universe has a plan. So when I see that, it settles me inside, even when in the reality it looks this way or it looks that way. I know that on another level, there is a plan. So I don't get myself upset about it because it's not really within my control as it is anyway. And there must be something important from it. And I thought to myself, it's the surrender, right? Just really surrender. I feel like my Merlin is saying hello to me because Diana's cat is there. Yeah. So we have to surrender and let go, right? Because that's what's going to deepen the work. So can we be ready to do that? Can we be ready? It's going to take self-love. It's going to be putting your needs for healing before anything else, before anyone else. It's going to take boundaries. And most of us have a problem with boundaries. We have a problem with saying no. When we mean no, we'll say yes anyway, which is a compromise of energy. And then, that turns to shit, right? So, yeah, we have to look at that. And it requires us to look at what we're investing our time in that's really not worth our time. Okay. I have to say no sometimes when people message me or people send me emails or something like that, because there are some days like I could just spend 2 hours writing everybody back or emailing everybody back. And, especially if it's taking away from something that I need to do, and I can't do that. We have to look now and be like, you know what? I just can't do that. I can't. Your friend wants you to do something with them because, they're feeling this way or they're feeling that way, but you're exhausted. You don't feel like going out. You don't feel like being with them. Because, it's the same thing over and over again, whatever. And you've been there on that pathway with them 1,000 times before, you have to say no. And this is where the work is going to start getting hard because Aries is not going to be like Pisces. This energy we're going into, nobody, I don't care who the astrologer is, because I've been looking to see if anybody has anything. Have they done a synopsis all the way back to the beginning of time, right? No. Nobody has anything. 165 years. It's kind of hard to go back. I mean, we can go back and see when the big events were, and we go back and look and go, like, oh, this is what happened then, and this is how it's impacting. But the problem here is that it's not just Neptune moving out of Pisces. The other anomaly is that Saturn is also moving and moving with Neptune into Aries. So Neptune is going to be in Aries for a very, very long time, another 165 years. And in order for us, the collective, to get this right, Pisces, I'm sorry, Saturn said, Neptune, Aries, move over. I'm going to join you because I'm going to bring the lessons. I'm going to set the stage for the lessons. I'm going to set the stage for the experiences. We're going to get them to tighten up so that after I leave, after 2 years, I'll be there 2 years helping everybody find new structure, find new balance, coming into themselves. After that, you got it. Because when Neptune first gets into a sign, it's a little foggy. It's a little shiesty looking. You don't know what you're looking at. You don't know what you're seeing. So Saturn has to be there to make sure that everybody is, focused of the same mindset, like really in the work, doing the diligence. And then there's Uranus, which is the great awakener, right? Leaving the sign of Taurus for good, for, I don't know, its 13-year journey into the sign of Gemini. And it likes Gemini because Gemini is a thinking sign. It's a sign of thinking. It's the twins, very mental, very analytical. It's an air sign. And Uranus is electric. So it loves that. It wants to be in air because it's going to move fast. So we're going to start to see things pull apart, collapse, shift, change in a probably pretty good pace going into this new year. And we need to be ready. And I'm not talking about physical collapse either. I'm talking about, the container that holds your belief systems, the container that holds your dogma, the container that holds your spiritual relevance, right? Like the container that holds your name badge, your identity, right? All of that's going to change. It's going to change. It has to. It has to change because there's too many changes in the solar system, in the cosmos. There's too many planets changing signs, big planets, outer planets. The outer planets govern the collective. The inner planets govern us individually. But these big outer planet players, they're making big moves and they're moving at the same time into new signs. So for us, whether we know astrology or not is irrelevant. We have to be prepared to do the work. So, if we've been skating by and we haven't been doing our due diligence and we haven't been prudent in how we're navigating our reality, and we've been letting the mentalism, the insanity of the ego drive the bus, we got to stop. We have to shift that, right? And change. Direction, right? Downshift the gears and head on a new path. So, my suggestion is to get yourselves a journal or something and start making some notes or sheets of paper. If you don't want to do a journal, make some notes. Make some notes on what you're feeling, on what is transpiring in your reality. Make some notes on what it is that you have not resolved for yourself that needs resolving. Okay. Whether you come to me to do the work or you do the work with somebody else, it does not matter. You do the work. It's very important now more than ever. We have to do the work. Okay. So, stay on track. If you have to listen to this again, listen for the key talking points, make notes, write it down, pay attention to your body. If your body is asking you for ice cream, eat the ice cream until your body doesn't need the ice cream anymore because it will stop. Once that energy has been satisfied, if your body needs potato chips or pretzels because it's craving salt or French fries, have the French fries, have the salt, have the potato chips, have the pretzels until you don't need it anymore. And you might flip-flop back and forth, right? You might find yourself going from pretzels to ice cream to potato chips to French fries. No judgment. Just be like, okay, this is what it is. Obviously, my look at this. The cat, see, they're talking to each other. Hello. So, this is where we have to, let go. Let go of the old stories that are not our truth and really just step into what is our truth. And instead of sitting in the old container that's dissolving very quickly, right? We have to let that go. So, yeah, it's very important. Let go what's not true for you and make your boundaries. so that you're not saying yes to things that are not really in alignment. And maybe tonight, when you go to bed, a nice little practice would be to call your energy back, right? You lay in bed, you close your eyes, and you put your hands over your heart or a hand over your heart in your solar plexus. And you just say, I call my energy back from every place that I've ever been throughout my entire life that I might have left a piece of me behind. I call my energy back from all of these locations where I unknowingly left a part of me. I call it back to be one with me in this moment now. Right? And just call it back and just feel what that feels like in your body. You might take a big sigh of relief and feel extremely settled after that. You might wake up the next day and feel like, wow, I feel like $1 million, right? Because you have taken responsibility for your energy body. When we're not paying attention to our energy body, it gets tears. That the aura field gets rips, it gets holes, it gets tears. We don't want that, right? We want to make sure that we're intact, that we're whole. We have to pay attention. So, good boundaries, call your energy back, stay hydrated. If you feel like you're drinking a lot of water, but it's not making a difference, throw a pinch of salt in it, okay? Because the salt will definitely make a difference. Use some kind of magnesium spray or cream or something. Okay, that's very important because everybody is magnesium deficient. It helps with cognitive, it helps with your muscles. The gamma will make you have restless legs, because it's just the nature of gamma working through the immune system and the nervous system. So it's really important for the self-care right now, whatever that's going to look like for you. Okay. Does anybody have any questions before we close out? No? Everybody is good? Okay. Well, I thank you so much. I realize it might have been short notice. I thank you so much for joining in on this live gathering. Thank you for being here with me. I think that I will probably make the next recording next week. I'm trying not to do it, with the holidays and everything like that, because I know people are going to be busy, but I want everybody to have it so that you can listen to it whenever you want. And then I'll have a schedule for January. This was a little late. I had a lot of stuff going on here that was kind of like behind the scenes stuff, but and then my recording didn't want to load, and there was some glitchy stuff with my website, and I was just like, is this ever gonna get out there? Like, what are we doing here? So it's just a matter of timing and going with the flow. But anyway, to all of you, especially because we're on the live, I want to say whatever it is that you're celebrating, Hanukkah, Christmas, whatever, have a wonderful holiday. Enjoy yourself. I don't think we're going to talk live unless I see you for a session until after the new year, because that's when we'll do the next live. But please be present for yourselves, pay attention, be safe out there because there's a lot of chaotic people with these energies. I'm noticing that people are having a very challenging time navigating themselves. So just be careful out there, and I love you guys. Thank you so much for being here. Have a happy and safe holiday. Be blessed. Thank you. Love you guys.
Thank
Take
you.
care.
Love
All
you.
right.
Love you
Bye-bye.
guys.